Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and Steve Palmer to guide you through yet another busy week. Steve's got a smile on his face. He landed a winner last week and I believe he was at one of the tournaments. Can't wait to hear all of those stories. And three tournaments to look ahead to this week, including the Solheim Cup. Excited to get Steve's thoughts on all of those. If you're listening on SoundCloud, welcome along. If you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe and drop a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Steve, how's things?
Very well, thanks, Jay. Yeah, good. I was at the. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, pleasantries, official pleasantries. I like your new backdrop. You got some good stuff.
Yes.
There,
I was wondering, you know, now that they're on the Sweet Spot, could I sort of expense them through work? Do you think they'll let me?
Very impressive backdrop. And that sofa looks so comfortable. I'm very, very jealous of you. But yeah, I had a wonderful few days. I was at the wrong golf tournament, as you say. I went to the BMW PGA Championship with Tommy Tiger on the Thursday. I should have been at the Fortinet Championship, but that was a little less convenient in California. But yeah, I had four wonderful days, just me and Tommy Tiger. The ladies in my life went off to Brighton, and it was just me and Tommy on the charge for 4 days. So we went to Wentworth on the Thursday. You know, followed. You know, what an introduction to golf for Tommy Tiger, seeing Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, and Ludwig Aubert in a three ball. I mean, you couldn't get a better three ball than that, could you? So. We kept a respectful distance. I didn't want to put them off. But by the 18th tee is where I got a little bit too close and Rory McIlroy got a little bit angry.
What happened?
Tommy Tiger, he was frustrated because he didn't want to watch golf. He wanted to play golf. There's a little bit where you can play golf, swing Velcro balls, fire Velcro balls.
Yeah.
Sort of golf darts thing. And he just wanted to do that. And he was getting angry with me spending too long watching the golf. And while Victor Hovland was sort of doing his little waggles, getting ready for his drive at 18, Tommy Tiger just went, like that. It was an absolute disaster for me because I was really, really, you know, of all the players for him to put off, it was the man that I've backed. And Rory was the next one to go. And he's like staring over there. Basically, I don't do that again. And Hovland hooked that drive into the bunker. And I thought,
oh, my goodness.
Blimey, I've actually had a negative impact on my bet. But then fortunately, he still made birdie from there. So I was relieved. But yeah, we had a fantastic day at Wentworth. And,
what's your kind of tactic when you're viewing golf live? Do you follow a certain group or do you stick to a certain hole or do you get drunk in the beer tent? Like what's your vibe?
It varies on who I'm with. If I was on my own, it would have been an entirely different experience. Yeah, I would have just been absorbed in that three ball. But yeah, with a 4-year-old child who, with a short attention span and wanting to do other things, you have to dart to the ice creams, dart here, dart there. So there was actually a Sweet Spot viewer in the junior golf tent where Tommy Tiger just wanted to spend the whole day firing these Velcro balls. Jordan, I must give a shout out to Jordan.
Jordan,
who was from your neck of the woods, East Anglia.
Oh, brilliant. I'm sure a lovely man then.
Well, massive Ipswich Town fan.
Oh, Jordan.
I thought you'd like him. But he backed Ryan Fox.
Oh, well done.
He showed me his list of golfers and Ryan Fox was on there. So, yeah, we had a great day and met some great Sweet Spotters. It wasn't just him. There was loads of Sweet Spot viewers out there. It was quite job-affirming. Massive success. Sorry, I'm rambling.
Oh, well done, Jordan. He can pick his golfers. Shame about his choice of football team. It was Ryan Fox that won the BMW PGA Championship. It was I think my overriding thoughts from the tournament, Steve, is how happy Mr. Luke Donald will be. Because, I mean, the leaderboard stacked with European Ryder Cup players. You had Tyrrell Hatton in there, Rahm, Hovland, Fleetwood, McIlroy, Åberg, Straka, all within the top 10. It was a successful prep week.
I think you're absolutely right. I think he'll be delighted with how they were performing. And I think it would have been a tough week for the bookmakers. I mean, Ryan Fox, wouldn't have gone unbacked. You know, Jordan, your mate, backed him 45-1. He went off. He played well in Ireland the previous week. Didn't you remember? Third place in Ireland. So I think there would have been plenty of Fox backers. And then the places, I mean, the bookmakers just must have been crying into their soup. every fancy runner was in the places, wouldn't they? I was delighted that the bookmakers took a pace in last week. I mean, Callum Shinquin is the only player who finished in the top sort of nine that went off at a big price. Delighted for Ryan Fox, delighted for Luke Donald, delighted you know, punters generally, I think lots of punters would have had a decent week, you know, place wise. You know, our man Victor got a place, yeah, which sort of paid for the win part of that bet. So yeah, all good.
Absolutely. And just on Ryan Fox, Steve, I mean, I think I saw Bruce tweeting it the week. Just a man who's just relentlessly hanging around leaderboards. And I think it's, is it 3 wins in 18 months now? Like it, he's got, yeah. He's building a serious CV and a massive tournament to win. We have to start taking him seriously if we weren't already.
You're absolutely right. He was sort of clumsy in his younger days and a bit nervous and a bit edgy. But in his 30s, he's just thrived. You know, all of his wins have come in his 30s. He's a 4-time DP World Tour champion now. And yeah, that back nine, you know, it's never over till it's over, is it, Jack? Yeah, there was no fat lady. You know, I had a couple of texts off Tyrrell Hattenbacher's all getting all excited. But yeah, you know, the fat lady is not singing, is it, until the final putt is holed. And yeah, it was a 6-under par back nine. You know, Fox very late to the party, made a 7 early on.
Yeah, I was about to say there was a triple bogey on the third, wasn't there? I mean, to bounce back from that, what was it, 3-8 birdies from the third hole onwards. I mean, talk about bounce back ability, that's remarkable from him.
It was a great golf tournament, and yeah, Ludvig Åberg will take a lot from the experience. You know, I mean, he had a 66-76 weekend. I thought it was, yeah, it's nice to know he's human after all, isn't it? Because it was looking like, you know, Ludvig Åberg might just take over the sport and be going off 6-4 for golf tournaments. You know, he's made that good a start to his pro career. But he just got too cute with a couple of chips, as he put it. But I still expect Ludvig Åberg to win everything at some stage.
So he'd had a brilliant weekend at Wentworth. Tommy Tiger had tried his best to kind of annoy the locals, and then you get home and you flick on the Fortinet, and your man Thigala romps home. I mean, in terms of good weekends, I mean, your weekend must have been right at the very top.
I think it was definitely in the top three. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, we had such a good time at Wentworth. Then when we got back to Weymouth, we went on a few pub crawls. Nothing like going on a pub crawl with a 4-year-old. He absolutely loved that. We tried to catch some mice. So I just want to encourage some manly pursuits. These days, you know, your parents have to sort of tiptoe around, you know, manly pursuits. But, you know, I want my boy to turn into a man. And you know, we decided to do a bit of hunting. And, you know, the only legal hunting you can do really is mice.
Well, I need context here, Steve, because you've thrown me slightly. You've gone away from the run order. Were they pests on your grounds, or were you just trying to seek them out?
We were trying to seek them out. I bought several mouse traps, and we put them all around the local area. And yeah, when we got back on Saturday, we deployed them. And then in the morning, we were hoping to go out and see all these traps full of mice. I must stress that they're not the old. I didn't get the old fashioned ones and spear them at the mouse. I didn't want to kill the mice.
The humane ones.
The mouses. I didn't want to kill the mouses. I wanted to just capture them and give my son a little bit of hunting experience.
Mouses in? Is it a little bit of cheese or?
Yeah, cheese. grated cheese. And I just don't know why it failed, because we had so many traps in so many perfect mouse locations. And then in the morning we woke up and there were none there. And there was a huge thunderstorm on the Saturday night. That's the excuse I gave Tommy for his dad's failure to successfully hunt a mouse. The thunderstorms were biblical on them on Saturday night.
Yeah, we did. I'm just amazed that you can pick a golfer out of 136 players successfully, but you can't catch a mouse with multiple traps in a large town like yours.
I felt humiliated. I don't know what went wrong. I'm putting it down to the thunderstorm. I mean, the thunderstorm woke me up at 5 a.m. I was utterly convinced we were in a nuclear situation. I thought it was a nuclear attack. I've never heard thunder that loud. I immediately went into, because I've actually read up on what you're supposed to do in a nuclear attack. You got to get all the windows shut. You got to get all the windows. I'm 5 a.m. on Sunday morning. I'm shutting all the windows as tight as possible. Tommy slept through it. But I honestly thought we were under attack, Jack. But fortunately, it was just a thunderstorm. And then the traps were empty. But yeah,
was Saturday or Sunday night?
This was on the Sunday morning. 5 a.m. Sunday morning was the big thunderstorm. Wow. So yeah, we woke up Sunday morning open to find, you know, 8 mouses, as we call them. And there was none there.
Well, stick to the golfing punting career. Maybe give up on the kind of Bear Grylls type adventures. From mice to Thigala, not our most seamless link of all time, Steve. But you picked him out. He won by a couple. Again, a nice winner. I think we're gonna call Thigala. It just seems like a very pleasant chap.
Oh yeah, what a man! You know, and what a swashbuckling display! You know, he didn't find a fairway, yet he won comfortably. I mean, two shots flatters the chasing pack. You know, he sort of just tickled his way up the last hole. He could have gone for the green there, but just laid up playing it safe. I mean, I was singing "This Will Not Be Beaten" on hot after hole 16 of day one.
He
was one over par through 10 holes of that tournament. Then on the 11th tee, he changed into his Superman outfit. He was five under par to the hut from there. Friday 64, away and gone. Yeah, you just got a sense that he was going to win easy. And he did. And he did it without finding a fairway, really. This is the great thing about this player. I mean, he just had loads of amazing recovery shots. His short game is exquisite. He's got like a Mickelson-esque quality to him, isn't he? I mean, they're both Californians. They've both spent their whole life hitting wild drives, but they'll both end their careers with, you know, mantelpiece full of silverware. Mickelson obviously already has got an enormous mantelpiece. I think Thigala's going to win loads of times. Yeah, I love his style of play.
Every man wants an enormous mantelpiece, don't
they? Don't we? Mine is tiny.
There we go. Well, what a week you had. I mean, from Wentworth to adventures to winning bet. What was the highlight for you of last week?
The highlight, perhaps introducing Tommy Tiger to Top Gun, actually, which I think is the second best film ever made. He's already watched Happy Gilmore, so we watched Top Gun and Saturday. It was just perfect with the golf being so late as well, because that California event starts so late. So, I could do all the action during the day. Then Top Gun just to get him to sleep. And then once he was asleep, watch Saki
Thigala. Top Gun to get him to sleep. It's hardly the most relaxing of films.
That's how action-packed our days are. If you're watching Top Gun, that's bringing it down a level. We like all action days, me and Tommy. But it was a weekend for the ages. And Saki Thigala, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And his parents are such good eggs as well, aren't they? Did you see his dad? His dad's high-fiving everyone on the way round. Yeah, it was a real feel-good story, Saki Thigala. One to follow. And it's a shame Hovland didn't, had the Hovland Thigala double. Hovland's putter was the complete opposite of Thigala. Hovland missed so many chances last week, and yet still almost won. He's so class, isn't he, Victor Hovland? He will win at Wentworth one day. But you can't have it all. I'm not gonna get downbeat. You can't have it all.
You mentioned high fives there. I'm starting to think that high fives for professional golfers should be banned, because, sort of darts players, when they walk down the, I was about to say walk down the aisle, it's certainly, but they'll go with their opposite, they won't go with their throwing hand, will they? They'll go with their other one. Yeah. But I was playing a foursomes golf match, sort of a county thing, a couple of weeks ago, and I made play this really good shot, my partner high fived, and he slapped me so hard, my wrist kind of clicked. And I just didn't feel the same. And I thought, if that's thrown my little club meant foursomes game.
It is dangerous, isn't it?
You'd want to do that on the biggest stage, would you?
You should contact Luke Donald, because there'll be lots of high-fiving going on next week. And warn them about the consequences of that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have thought about it. But there we go. Should we talk about this week's golf, Steve?
I think we should. We've got so much to get through.
We do. That wasn't the most concise of intro. So hope everyone is staying with us. Let's go to the Open de France. And I was scouting about for the markets this one. I was thinking, I can't find it. Where's it gone? It's the Kazoo Open. The 17th Kazoo Open of the season. Your market leader is Tom Kim, 10-1 there or thereabouts. You've got Minwoo Lee, 12-1. Ryan Fox, last week's winner, 14s. Aaron Rye, the two-gloved man, 16-1. Alexander Bjork, 18s. Thomas Dietrich, 20s. Bigger the rest. Steve, where are we? What can we expect? And talk us through this tournament.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Kazoo just sponsor everything, don't they? It won't be long before the Earth is called Kazoo, I think. The Earth sponsored by Kazoo. But we're at Le Golf National, which is one of my personal favourites. And it's in Saint-Quentin-en-Yvelines in France. A lot of people say it's in Paris, but it's not in Paris. It's a little bit away from Paris. It's
okay.
In a little
Is it like when they say you're flying into London and you've landed at Luton? Is it that kind of thing?
It is. But Luton is a very contrasting place to Saint-Quentin-en-Yvelines. But look at that. It's a really tough one to pronounce. I think I might have nailed it there, but perhaps we'll get some French viewers who can let me know. 7,247 yards, par 71, only three par fives. One of Europe's finest courses, I think we can safely say. French Open venue for many a moon. Also staged a 2018 Ryder Cup, you'll remember well. You know, usually such a stern test, undulating fairways, water hazards everywhere. The French Open used to be in July. It switched to autumn in 2019. Then COVID-19 destroyed the 2020 and 2021 events. They were cancelled. We returned last year and we got a fantastic tournament last year. Guido Migliori produced one of the rounds of the year. You must remember that.
Is that the 18th hole? And what a shot.
Yeah, that was the icing on the cake of a Sunday 62 at one of the hardest courses in Europe. Really impressed. We won't be getting any 62s on day one this year, certainly. Heavy rain, moderate breezes for Thursday. Thursday's conditions horrible. Lighter rain Friday, but still breezy. Sunnier and calmer at the weekend. 156 going to post.
You've got sort of a photographic memory when it comes to golf, Steve. And, you know, you'll say, oh, do you remember, you know, Jim Furyk's shot in Arizona from 2009? I'm like, no, I'm really struggling with that. But Migliozzi last year, I mean, you cannot forget that one. It was an absolute corker. Yeah. How many selections for this week, Steve?
Four!
Good, strong start. Your leading tip for this week?
Antoine Rosner, 40-1. Who I feel has been dismissed too easily for his National Open on the back of a couple of missed cuts. He missed the cut by a shot at Wentworth last week. Who cares? These things happen. You know, Rosner has not become a bad player because he finished level par for 36 holes at Wentworth. 2 months ago, he finished 20th in the Open Championship, having come for a qualifier. Then he was 22nd in the Czech Masters, 24th at Crans-Thiers. He was playing well. I think he's going to get back among the birdies this week in his homeland. Le Golf National, great fit for him. You know, this is a superb ball striker, accurate from tee to green. He had to be very patient for his first crack at the French Open because of those COVID cancellations. It finally came last year and he opened with rounds of 69, 66, 69. He had a disappointing Sunday 74, dropped to 11th place, but really eye-catching debut. 3 months later, he won his third DP World Tour title, a five-shot romp in the Mauritius Open. We've got a 30-year-old Parisian here playing close to home. He knows he's one of the best players on the DP World Tour. He knows he can handle the Golf National now. I think he's the best value on the card. Just forget about those miscuts. This sort of thing happens.
You're certainly a man that thinks, you know, players playing in their home open is a benefit, aren't you? I mean, some will say that it's added pressure and, you know, you think that Rosner can live up to the hope here?
I do. I think I think he'd be inspired. You'll see Frenchmen on this leaderboard all week. I think he's by far the most likely French winner.
Antoine Rosner, the number one selection in the French Open for Steve Palmer. Who's up next?
Alexander Bjork, 20-1. Can't go into battle without him. Be backing him a lot lately because with so many each way places on offer now. You know, bets on Bjork have become much more agreeable. You know, such a high chance of getting him into contention, then you just take your chances on the win from there with it. You know, with a free bet essentially. You know, Bjork has posted 8 top 10 finishes this year, 13 top 20s, twice finished runner up in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship in February. He was beaten by just a shot in the European Masters earlier this month when we were on him, beaten by 2 shots. But you know, one of those shots was a penalty for picking up his ball. Did you see that one in round 3? Yeah, that he had what is known in the trade as a brain fart. Ian Poulter was the first one who heard use that terminology, but I think Bjork would accept he had a brain fart because they had preferred lies for the first 2 rounds. And then he comes out for round 3 and assumes it's the same again, picks up his ball. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. So, to recover from that gut buster and finish runner-up to Ludvig Åberg, magnificent performance at Crans-Thiers. He's just in great nick. He was 18th at Wentworth last week. Le Golf National, a fantastic fit. His iron play is usually excellent. Yeah, lots of tough approaches at this week's course. And his French Open record is rock solid. Third place on debut in 2017, when a tour maiden, 154th in the world rankings, 8th in 2018, 20th last year. So he's finished in the top 20 every time he's played here. no reason why that should I can't see a reason why that shouldn't continue. And I'll just give you some icing on the cake. I know he must crack on with three tours.
Even more reasons to just back him. Wow.
Small bit of icing on this Bjork cake.
Okay.
His one Challenge Tour victory came in France, the 2016 Le Voudrais Challenge. Yeah, I think a long overdue second Deeper World Tour title could be coming on Sunday.
That was, you know, that was icing we didn't necessarily need, but
he's, never he's, have
great, he's gratefully received nonetheless, Steve.
Do you ever get cakes where you just lick the icing off the cake and don't bother with this dry, spongy bit? I often get handed a cake at some sort of children's party or whatever, and I'll look at the top of it and think, yeah, the top looks nice, but that's all dry, horrible stuff there. Just eat all the icing, forget about
it. Are you a fan of I don't know the kind of, you know, the Mary Berry definitions of icing, but the stuff that you almost get in a packet and kind of layer it on, I'm not a fan of that stuff. It's too sickly for me.
Yeah. I mean, I've never actually made a cake, so I'm out of my depth talking
You've
about
You've never made a cake?
I've never made a cake, no.
What? So have you? What, ever?
No, I've never made a cake. So
what,
I don't know.
Like cupcakes as a child or something?
No, I've never made a cake. Michael Owen's never watched a film. So, I mean.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. I'm not actually sure what's more shocking. That Owen's watched like three films in his life, and
he's watched three now.
The challenge for our sweet spot viewers this week is if one of Steve's tips wins this week, he has to come on next week's show for the Ryder Cup having baked a cake, and our viewers can select which cake Steve bakes. That's your challenge for this week.
Okay, blimey. Okay, well, that's a bit of solace if I don't tip a winner, then I ain't gonna make a bloody cake. I wouldn't know where to start.
Two tips down, two to go. Who's the third?
Ewan Ferguson, who we're keeping the faith. We've been backing him a lot. He's 70-1 this week. He's been playing solid golf without getting much out of his rounds. At some stage soon, he's going to have a tournament where the putts suddenly start going in. I mean, you play a lot of golf, Jack. You know what a fickle business putting is. You know, it can go from live rattlesnake to magic wand in a flash, can't it? Once they start going in, your confidence increases. Ferguson has got a textbook swing. He finds fairways and greens with ease, but he's been suffering on the dance floors. I'm going to take a chance this week that his accuracy from tee to green is enough to get him in contention on a difficult layout. You know, then we'll see if he can pop in a few putts and land a third DP World Tour title. He won twice last year. He's only 27. He's still improving. He's had three top four finishes this year. Most recently, fourth in the British Masters in July. He was 12th in the Scottish Open as well. And as I say, he's not done a lot lately. If you looked at his bare form, you wouldn't realise how solid he's been playing. In his last six regulation DP World Tour events, he's carded nothing worse than a 73. So that's a total of 20 rounds. He just hasn't been tearing it up. Yeah, and you don't need to tear it up at Le Golf National. I mean, five of the last 10 editions of the French Open have been won by single figures under par total.
Wow.
So I like Ferguson for this. And yeah, he missed the cut on the mark, like Rosner at Wentworth last week. 72-72. No disgrace in that. I think they're both going to contend this week.
Do you know Ferguson's a big fan of country music?
Is he? You and Ferguson is? I knew he was a big Glasgow Rangers fan. Oh, Glasgow Rangers and country music. He seems like a really interesting character. He's Glaswegian, isn't he? I think I walked past his brother last week at Wentworth.
Oh, did you?
He had someone coming towards me looked just like Ewan Ferguson. So I think it was his brother. He had the Puma hat on.
I'm pretty sure
it wasn't Ewan Ferguson. But yeah, maybe I think he's got a brother that might look like him. But I'm going to stick with this fella because I think his swing is, you know,
it's
beautiful.
Majestic. Yeah, it's fluid. I think that's
fluid.
What
I wish I'd said that.
There you go. You can steal that for next week's show. Ferguson, who's last on the list, Steve?
It is a 300-1 chance.
Wow.
It's Darius Van Driel. I've been drooling at the Van Driel prices. I think this lad is made for the Golf National. Extremely accurate off the tee. You know, neat and tidy player. Tommy and I watched a bit of him at Wentworth last week, actually. Wentworth is the sort of tight track that Van Driel can be effective in. He played okay. Le Golf National is another test of accuracy. You look at some of the courses that Van Driel has done well at this year. You know, underlines my point. 11th place in the Kenya Open. Very tight track. 22nd place in the Soudal Open, tight tree line track again. 21st in the Scandinavian Mixed. 36th last week in high class company at Wentworth. He'd be pleased with that. He was runner up in a tight tree line, that pseudo open venue I mentioned, tight tree line venue. He was runner up in the 2019 Belgium knockout at that course. So courses that put a premium on accuracy, consider Darius van Driel. He won in France on the Alps Tour in 2015. He's won twice on the Challenge Tour. You know, no mug. I'll have a double on the 34-year-old Dutchman. Thank you very much.
When you're going to battle with such big price players like that, Steve, do you ever kind of go into the top 20 markets and
you should
and look at that? Yeah,
you bloody well should. Yeah, I'm always the reason I'm not already retired is too much ambition. Yeah, you know, I'm always too ambitious. I'll have more on the double than I have on the single. It's just I know I've made some mistakes in life, but yeah, you should be looking at top 20 bets. I haven't looked, but have a good look.
If your biggest mistake's not backing Van Driel in top 20 markets, I'm sure you're okay.
Made a few others, to be honest. But yeah. Have a look. Good interception. Wrong word, but good interception. Yeah.
Interjection into something. there we go. That's open to France. That's done. Shall we move over to LIV Golf? Because I mean, you're already in a kind of giddy mood, Steve. Should we amplify that giddiness some more?
Yeah. We both like LIV. I mean, you've been to a LIV event, haven't you?
I wouldn't say I like it. I mean, I've been. I was mildly entertained on my day there. I think it was, you know, helped with the consumption of Stella. We'll take a look at LIV Golf Chicago. Steve, yes. Excited for this one. Talk us through what we can expect.
Me too, yeah. Rich Harvest Farms, Sugar Grove, Illinois.
What a golf course name, by the way. Rich Harvest Farm. Feels like a cereal bar name, doesn't it?
It does. It's an appropriate name too, isn't it? Because there's always a rich harvest of money in these live events. You know, $20 million up for grabs, $4 million to the winner, 48 runners going to post as usual. 7,401 yards. Yeah, it's a long par 71. Only three par fives. And we've got some amateur form to trawl through here. The 2017 NCAA Championship was at this course. The 2021 Palmer Cup. And we've got 1 year of LIV Golf Chicago form, of course. You know, we're in the second season now, aren't we? So this was played last year. Long tree line, demanding layout, but weather forecast good. Sunny, calm. Sorry, I nearly belched there.
Well, no, I was about to say you can't have anything other than sun at Rich Harvest Farm, surely.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it rained there, then they shouldn't be calling themselves such a grand name. Let's take a look at the market where Cameron Smith is your favourite, around about 7-1. Bryson DeChambeau, 11s. Patrick Reed, 14s. DJ, 14s. Taylor Gooch, also 14s. Joachim Niemann, 16s. Koepka, the same price. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, who is your number one selection for LIV Golf Chicago?
Bryson DeChambeau. Generally available at 11-1. I love that price. DeChambeau essentially disemboweled the LIV Golf Greenbrier venue. Did you see that tournament? Weekend rounds of 61 and 58.
Yeah, to win remarkable.
To win by six shots. I mean, DeChambeau has done some spectacular things in his career. Yeah, that was right up there. That weekend in West Virginia was incredible. You know, plenty of Americans would like to see DeChambeau on the Ryder Cup team. You know, Zach Johnson has opted for team unity, isn't he? You know, Jordan Spieth's got his Justin Thomas. Scottie Scheffler's got his Sam Burns. Ricky's in, Collins in, all mates together. I get that because DeChambeau probably would have dented team spirit. I understand Zach's thinking, but yeah, DeChambeau clearly back to his best, and he's the sort of character who would love to put on another masterclass on Ryder Cup Eve. You know, that would appeal to his character, and I think he's going to deliver that. Yeah, this track sets up well for him. It's a big boys' ballpark. He first played Sugar Grove in 2015, the 2015 Western Amateur. He did okay in that. He finished 17th in the stroke play section. You know, just missed out on match play qualification, and in last year's LIV Chicago, he finished 8th. His confidence levels were really low at that stage. It was his best finish of the 2022 LIV campaign. But now he's got his fitness back. He's got his form back. He nearly won LIV Golf Valderrama the other day. He won at Greenbrier. He was 4th in the US PGA Championship. I think he's going to take some stopping this week.
I love that when he was asked, you know, do you ever start to get scared when you're going like seriously low? And he said, didn't he? He used, as a junior, he'd sometimes tee off the forward tees just to get used to making loads of birdies.
Oh, right.
Like he would tee, even when he was playing off scratch, where he'd tee off the very forward tees and just make loads of birdies. So he got that feeling of just going really deep around a golf course. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he absolutely didn't look scared, did he? Didn't look scared. I mean, 58. I mean, what a round of golf. I know it's a par 70, and set up easy, and there was a lot of moisture around to help him. But, to shoot 58 is staggeringly good golf, and, he'll feel he should be on the Ryder Cup team.
Absolutely. I didn't ask, Steve, how many selections have we got for this?
Oh, just three, mate, just three.
Three for this. So DeChambeau, number one. Who's number two?
It's Eugenio Chikara at 80 to 1, a rising star of the sport. He was the second best amateur in the world before he took the plunge into the pro ranks, made the controversial decision to join LIV Golf straight away. Yeah, we tipped him for last year's LIV Chicago at 200 to 1. He finished 21st in that. 3 weeks later, sod's law, he wins LIV Golf Bangkok by three shots. He's got huge potential, this lad. He's not consistent. He's only 23. He's still got lots of rough edges. But when he's on, he's magnificent. And at those odds, I'll chance him. Last time out, he won on the Asian Tour, the St. Andrews Bay Championship, a new event. He beat Matt Jones in a playoff, which lasted 10 holes. It was a battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, lovely. Yeah, Fairmont St. Andrews, Sam Torrance design course. It was a high class playoff. Chikara was 6 under par for those 10 playoff holes. Two players playing really good golf, and he finally got over the line. Then he went partying in St. Andrews with his mates. I've seen some pictures of him enjoying St. Andrews. I think Chikara is quality. I love his golf swing, and we know he likes Sugar Grove. He played in the 2021 Palmer Cup that I mentioned. He won all four of his matches. That's like a President's Cup style event. He won all four of his matches in that event on a losing side. United States won easily. He's playing for the internationals. He's a Spaniard. 80-1's enormous.
Seems a big price for a CV like that. And third and final selection for LIV Golf this week.
It's David Puig at 70-1, another young Spaniard who opted to join LIV straight away. Puig hasn't won on the LIV Tour yet, but the signs are promising. He was 12th in LIV DC, he was 7th in LIV Andalusia, 4th in LIV Greenboro. He qualified for the US Open in the summer and finished 39th. He got through regional qualifying for the Open. His form figures on the Asian Tour in his last three starts have been 4-14-11. The last of those events was the week before last. So we've got a 21-year-old here, a baby coming of age. And we also know that he likes Sugar Grove, because he also played in that 2021 Palmer Cup. He won three of his four matches, including his singles.
Obviously, we know what LIV Golf's all about now, Steve. Some big names in there. So, no fancies for Cam Smith, DJ, Patrick Reed, going for the Spaniards instead.
Cam Smith, defending champion, obvious chance. He won last year's LIV Greenbrier. I just prefer DeChambeau at the odds because motivation is so crucial. Yeah, motivation is an issue in these LIV events because everyone gets a healthy check. You finish last and you've done well. I just think this DeChambeau is a Ryder Cup reject, be a bit more fired up. Cam Smith can drift out of it, things mentally, like we all can. I think Smithy might be on autopilot. DeChambeau might be raging again.
Excellent. And an angry DeChambeau is someone you don't really want to come up against. There we go. We will reiterate all of the tips at the end of the show. We shall move on before that, though, to the Solheim Cup, Steve. Excited for this. I always find the Solheim Cup good fun to watch. Do you enjoy it?
Yes. I mean, if I have a bet, I'm always excited whenever I have a bet. So I may have a bet.
Well, no, look, I hope you're having a bet, because our viewers, that's the whole reason they watch this show. So we can hope that Steve's having a bet in this one. The Solheim Cup, Steve, talk us through it. Where is it? Europe, a favourite.
It's the sort of track you've probably played. I know you've jet around the world playing golf, living the high life, making me very jealous. Have you played Finca Cortesan?
No.
In Casales, Malaga, Andalucía, Spain. 6,000.
Sounds lovely.
I think it'll be on your radar at some point. Yeah. 6,945 yards, par 72, five par fives, five par threes. Yeah, reputedly the finest greens in Spain. So, yeah, go to Finca Cortesan and have a look at their greens. Apparently, you can eat your dinner off these greens if you're so inclined.
If you provide a winning tip, we might be able to dine with some sort of lobster fresh off the greens there.
Or the cake. We get the cake on it, won't we? But we have seen it before. I don't remember the greens being that spectacular. Maybe things have moved on. It was a long time ago. We had it in the Volvo Match Play. Remember when the Volvo Match Play left Wentworth, went to here, 2009, 2011, 2012. Ross Fisher, Ian Poulter and Nicholas Coulthard won those events.
I mean, it's been a while since then.
Yeah, maybe they've improved the green since then.
Change, yeah.
lots of risk-reward holes at this track, Jack. At least two drivable par fours. It could be three, apparently, with a bit of tee movement. So you could have three drivable par fours, five par fives. It looks a perfect match play venue, and the weather forecast is going to make it even more interesting. If you're excited now, let me tell you, it's going to be sunny and windy throughout. You're going to have loads of wind add into the spectacle.
And it's always nice to see Europe going into, you know, these events favourites. They're 10 to 11, USA 11 to 10, tie 12 to 1. How are we approaching this from a betting angle, Steve? Because it always gets, you know, slightly confusing in, you know, in these and the Ryder Cup sort of events. So how are we planning our attack here?
We're having an outright bet and two top scorer bets. Unless there's been a late surge of money, I think there's still some even money available about Europe, isn't there? I'm hoping there's still some evens out there, because that price is good enough to get me involved. Because home advantage always massive in these team events. Yeah, they're not fair fights, are they? These team golf events. Europe will have the crowd cheering their every move. I can't imagine there's hordes of Americans, you know, making the trek to Spain. 12 of the last 17 Solheims have been won by the home side. Team spirit seems excellent in the European camp. Yeah, there's a Scandinavian core to this European team. Yeah, the captain is Susanne Pettersen. She's Norwegian. Two of her three assistants are Scandinavian. There are five Swedes playing on this team. I think the side is full of natural bonds, some obvious pairings, and only three rookies, you know, compared to the five rookies on the American side. So three quarters of the European side have tasted Solheim Cup combat before. And the European rookies are strong. I don't really see the rookies as weak links. Certainly two of them are really strong. I'm all over Europe. Europe won against all the odds in 2021. It was an amazing victory in Ohio. I think they can make it three Solheim Cup victories in a row this week, which has never happened before. And that would be, if they win this week, that would be five wins in the last seven Solheims. So the balance of power has shifted to Europe.
You're just oozing positivity today, Steve. And I'm really enjoying your mood today.
Oh, thank you. I'm enjoying it. You can thank Sahith Theegala for that.
So Europe are winning it. That's a good start. What are our other selections for Solheim?
So then in the top point scorer markets, we're going with two Europeans that I think will be the stars of the side. And the first one is Lynn Grant, who's 14 to 1. You like Lynn Grant?
Yeah, I do like Lynn Grant, yeah.
I think you've got every right to like Lynn Grant.
Thank you.
14 to 1 to be top point scorer. I think two of the European rookies could be. She's a rookie, but you know, she doesn't walk like a rookie. You know, Grant has made rapid career strides in the last couple of years.
What do rookies walk like?
I was just thinking that. I don't know, a bit sort of nervous, a bit like Bruce Grobbelaar when he was doing that funny thing with the penalty shooter. Yeah, I suppose they walk a little bit gingerly, don't they?
Yeah, sort of head down a little bit.
Yeah, head down,
shoulders. Because they say, don't they, when you're leading a golf tournament to assert your dominance, shoulders back, chest out, you know, head up.
Yeah,
and people think, oh, you know, they mean business, and that's what Lynn Grant walks like.
I've trained myself to walk like Tiger Woods did at Carnoustie in 2018. You know, the greatest bet I ever had. It didn't win. Yeah. When I was on Tiger Woods to win the absolute crown jewels 2018 Open, I was walking alongside Tiger Woods, that mirroring his walk, and he's got a really sort of stylish walk. His chest back a little bit, but it's slow. It's like a tiger prowling, an actual tiger prowling. And I've taught a few friends to walk more confidently. I've got a few friends that are a bit downbeat sometimes. And that's how you want it. Yeah, Tiger Woods never walked like a rookie. A rookie, you're right, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Maybe you could walk like, you know, 2018 Tiger. Your good lady can walk like 2023 Lynn Grant.
Yeah.
And you two will be the king and queen of Weymouth. I mean,
I think you're absolutely right.
One will come close to you.
I will suggest that to the lady wife when she gets home. But yeah, I've completely lost my train of thought now. Where was I? Oh, Lynn Grant. Lynn Grant. She's a 24-year-old at the peak of her powers. I think that's fair to say. She won three normal events on the Ladies European Tour last year. But don't forget, she also won the Scandinavian mixed event, which you probably remember.
I remember it very well. Yeah.
Half the field's male. Grant won the event by 9 shots. You know, staggeringly good performance. This year, she's won another Ladies European Tour title in May. Then she made a LPGA Tour breakthrough in July. She wasn't even allowed on the LPGA Tour for a bit because of some COVID issue, a bit like when Novak wasn't allowed in America because of, yeah, there was some issue with that. But once she got onto the LPGA Tour, it was like a duck to water. We know she likes match play golf. She won the 2020 Swedish Match Play Championship when she was still an amateur. And they might put her with one of the more experienced Swedes, because there's so many Swedes in this team. But I think Pettersson is going to unleash Grant with a fellow rookie, Marja Stark, who is my other top scorer tip. Marja Stark is 16-1 for top scorer, Lynn Grant 14-1. These two have been great friends since high school. They were on the same team together back then. They were roommates. They've been a huge support for each other throughout their careers. They played a lot of pairs golf together. They paired up for Sweden in various events. They've been very successful. They won the Sunningdale foursomes together in 2019. That's a prestigious event in the amateur days. They both turned pro in August 2021. They'll want to play together this week. I think these two will want to play together. They can continue their success. You know, Stark played well in match play golf in the International Crown event in April. And final point, I know we must wrap this up. If we break the hour mark, then the heads will roll. Lynn Grant has the best LPGA scoring average of any player in the Solheim Cup.
Yeah, wow. Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, Nelly Korda second. She's even better than Nelly Korda. Yeah, Lynn Grant has become elite very, very quickly. So I want both of them on my team. And you know who's going to be cheering on those guys who also went to school, who went to that same school?
Go on.
Ludvig Åberg.
No way.
He's going along
to the same school.
Yep, he's going along to cheer on his old schoolmates.
What are they serving for lunch at that school? My goodness me. What a alumni that is.
And what a dude, Ludvig Åberg. I nearly went back to the old pronunciation there, but what a dude. Like a week before your Ryder Cup debut, you know, he's going to have a big role to play next week. And there he's going to support his old mates.
I think you're quickly becoming, Steve, sort of Sweden's greatest ambassador. I mean, you speak such a good game, don't you, about Sweden? Well, there we go. I mean, that was quite the journey, Steve. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And for those that have been lost with our tales and adventures through the show, just we'll allow people to go and pick up their notepad or jot it on their iPhone notes if they're in the modern day and jot down your selections for this week. We'll start in France.
Antoine Rosner, Alexander Bjork, Ewan Ferguson, Darius Vandril.
Feels a while ago we spoke about that. Let's talk about Liv.
Bryson DeChambeau, Eugenio Chikara, David Puig.
And the Solheim Cup.
Europe, Lynn Grant, top scorer. Marja Stark, top scorer.
Very good. That was a great show, Steve. Thank you very much. And there's a big one next week as well. Are you feeling prepped for the Ryder Cup?
Yeah. Ryder Cup. Yeah, you know I'm not the most passionate Ryder Cupper in the world. I think it's a tough betting heat, but we're trying to jazz me up for it, whatever that means.
I'm sure a good weekend and you and Bruce will be on a fine form next week. Thank you very much for watching this week's edition of The Sweet Spot. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. As I say there, Steve will be back next week alongside Bruce Millington for the Ryder Cup special. It is a must watch. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.